morning again. I just thought that we had a few people here that may not know me. My name is Jeff Hamm. I'm one of the elders here at the church. We came to hear Pastor Gorton preach today. I'm sorry you're out of luck. You just have to put up with me instead. But hopefully we have the word from the Lord today to share with us. But first I want to tell you a little story. I'm going to tell you a story about a local businessman in the community here. He had a good business, had a wonderful lifestyle, and family, and kids. His employees liked him, and he loved his community, his church, he loved the Lord. But in 2008, the economy took a little tumble, so did his business. But during this hard time, he was able to retain his employees. But things were tough. I mean, his financing sources were tightening things up because they were struggling too, and they were hurting his cash flow. He did things to save money by cutting expenses that weren't necessary, and even changing computer systems to lower his expenses. During the same time, his comptroller got very sick and had cancer, and ended up passing away January of 2009. But he was able to hire a new comptroller. And the new comptroller came in, and she did a wonderful job. She discovered that there was a lot of sloppy accounting, and found out that the business hadn't paid the withholding taxes for several years. The business owed over $1 million, plus interest and penalties. And on top of this, the businessman's franchise that he had, they wanted to redo their whole store, completely re-renovate. Well, in this case, it was going to cost this business another $1.5 million to do that. So here was a good guy who loved the Lord, yet he faced all these problems. Devastating economy, learning a new computer system, loss of his comptroller, working with a new comptroller, and even finding a comptroller. Cash flow problems, huge bill from the IRS, and a huge bill to renovate. This man was shell-shocked and brought to his knees. So why am I telling you this story? You know, even though you may love the Lord, you're going to face trials and tribulations. No one is renewed. And sometimes that doesn't seem quite fair. But you can look around this world here, and you see people that are ungodly, and they're prospering. You're thinking, why? Why is that happening? But then you see a Christian, you know, they're suffering. But Debbie mentioned today, we're going to talk about a scripture. It's John 16:33. And in it, Jesus said, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The message states it this way. It says, I have told you this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart. I have conquered the world. Now, this scripture was predominantly used to describe the Christian suffering in early Christianity for the believers. But I think it can be used to talk about all suffering, you know, because we as Christians and as believers, we're going to suffer. And so I'm sort of tying it into that. You know, Jesus is here, he's talking to his disciples, he's reminding them that he's getting ready to go away from them, that they're going to be scattered, and yet he's not going to be alone. The Father is still going to be with him. And everything's going to be okay, because God has given him dominion over everything. You know, right before Jesus went up to heaven, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This story that I told you is true. And it's true because it's about me. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is I want to tell you what I learned through this process. And I hope that maybe some of you can learn from me without having to go through some of this and help maybe bring you closer to God. And here I was facing all these problems, All these thoughts were running through my head, why is this happening? Why am I having to go through this? How am I going to retain my business? How am I going to retain my employees? How am I going to go pay this IRS bill? When it first started with the economy and stuff, it wasn't that hard. We handled things as they came up. But as things went on, when we found out about the loss of the comptroller and found out about the bill with the IRS, I was shell-shocked. I confided in my earthly father, my dad, up to him, because he was there before me, and he was very helpful. I confided in my heavenly father, David. I spent many a night praying at 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning in my living room. So the Lord and I got very close during this time. I also confided in some friends, some close friends, and Pastor Jim was one of them. And immediately, these friends of mine started praying for me and my business. And I can't underestimate the power of that. Having friends interceding for you with the Father, it really helped. And I just can't emphasize it enough. You need, if you're going through trouble, you need to gather a group of folks together to pray for you, be around you. So let me go on a little bit further. The economy, there was nothing I could do about it. I just had to muddle through that. The finance source, our cash flow was hurt, but we ended up changing finance sources. We were doing okay. We were paying our bills, and we still had good equity and property, and I believe God was at work. The new computer system was difficult that we went to. As most of you know, if you change the computer system, relearning all these things is a pain in the neck. But it saved us about $4,000 a month, so that was a big help. But the loss of my comptroller, this is where I really could see God working in my life. And you say, well, how is that? My comptroller left, and those of you that aren't familiar with dealership accounting is quirky. There is nothing like it. It is different. So to be able to find someone who could come in and help take this over was a real God thing, and truly this was. The comptroller that I found through a friend of mine, not only was she familiar with dealership accounting, he was familiar with our computer system. And we were one of two computer systems in the whole state that had this system. So I know it was God's hand working in this, in the midst of this, because to do this is just unbelievable to find someone like this. And then Chris, when she came in, she started, going through the books and finding these the sloppy accounting that we had done. She came across these unpaid withholding taxes, and God was there in this midst. He provided me with Joan and Bill Winters. I went to them and talked to them about my situation, and they said, "Yeah, we can help you. We can help you." They had been serving other dealerships in the area, and I knew they were good folks. And Joan, she got in there and she fought for us, and we ended up only having to pay the bill plus interest, no penalty. So that was a big help. But during that time, I got a scripture from Revelation 3:7-8 that was given to me. And it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." And I claim that scripture because I could see it in action right there. I could see that through the Lord was keeping some doors closed, keeping the IRS at bay until we were able to pay them. Most people think, well, if you haven't paid your withholding tax, you've got to have money sitting there. Well, that money wasn't sitting there. Unfortunately, you know, we had overstated our profits in the previous years because of this actual this cashier. So we paid out probably bonuses and we bought things that maybe we wouldn't have bought normally. So that money wasn't there. So we had to go and get a loan. And at the time, we were with GMAC for our floor planning, and they were the ones that were really tightening the screws because they were in trouble too because of the economy. So we went back to Wilmington Trust, who we had done business with previously, and talked to them, explained the situation, and they said, yes. And it was no big deal. It had to be the Lord's working in there, because at that same time, many dealerships were struggling to get financing for their to finance their cars or for other things. So it was like unbelievable. Just you could just see the Lord working in this. You know, so this thing about the doors opening and shutting was really, I could see this action happening. Because of our loss of our comptroller and the new comptroller, we couldn't even produce a financial statement for 6 months. And Chevrolet does not look upon that very favorably. We have to turn one into them every month. And we couldn't. And I didn't really want to tell them too much because I didn't know what they would think. So, you know, we just said, you know, we just got this problem, comptroller, we're getting there. But they didn't know about all the other issues. So. But anyway, we started working through this, and you can start seeing progress. And like I said, with the doors being open and closed, you could really see this happen. Until things were ready to move forward. Once that issue was settled of paying the IRS, things settled down and got to be a little bit more manageable. But we still had this renovation to do for Chevrolet. And Chevrolet has this saying, it says, do you want to be on the team or not? And if you're not on the team, they can make life very difficult for you. You know, we knew we had to do this. So we pushed it off as far as we could. And finally, in 2012, we started our renovation project. But we had to get financing for it. So by that time, Wilmington Trust had been bought out by M&T. Went back to M&T, said, hey, this is what we want to do. This is what Chevrolet is requiring of us. But we weren't the only ones that were going to them and asking this other dealership for it. And it was, okay. Okay, so, you know, I just can't say enough that the Lord was there helping us through this whole process. So we did the renovation and got that taken care of. Well, here we are 8 years later. We more than survived. We got through this mess. We prospered. And this past May, we sold our business. And I have no debt. And... And they talk about debt being a slave to debt. It's very true. Because when you have that much debt, you know, you're really constrained on what you can do. But we have no debt and don't have to go work anywhere else. And so I'm at Wanda's disposal and she can use me as she sees fit. But we also have said that we're at the Lord's disposal and please use us how you see fit. So what did I learn from all this? You know, it's a great story, you know, but what did we learn about this thing? First thing, and you just sang about, God is faithful and God is with us all the time. You know, there were days when I just didn't know what was going to happen or what was going, you know, how I was going to get through. But the Lord would show me different things. And I always have to share this one. One day I go to work. And Jim Roscoe shows up in my office with a bouquet of flowers. And he says, I don't know why I'm here, but the Lord told me to bring you these flowers today. So thank you, Jim. But, you know, things like this happen. I had people come up to me and say, you know, at business, at work, and say, you know, you guys are really doing a good job taking care of us. You know, your folks are really nice. They do what they're supposed to do. You know, and it was very encouraging and just seeing that thing. And people would come up and just say, you know, we used to play the Christian music in our showroom and stuff, and people would come come up and just say, you know, we really appreciate that you stand up for your faith and that you love the Lord. And it was just these little encouragements along the way helped us get through it. And then the second thing which I talked about over is, you know, prayer's a must. You know, you just can't not have prayer in your life. But don't wait until you're in the valley. Start today and start praying and pray for others. And, you know, but when you get in that valley, if you can surround yourself with some prayer warriors, it means the world, you know, to have those folks interceding with you. Part of the goal in this play, though, is you need to build a relationship with God. You know, and how do you do this? You know, I wasn't always a Christian. But, and I share with our Sunday school class, and, you know, I said, I really like Jim, and I can relate to him because he's been down some of the same roads I have. And they're not, some of them aren't really good. But we do have a relationship with God. And you do this by, you know, coming to church. But it's more than just coming to church. It's getting into Scripture, diving in and reading what the Lord has to say and share to you. You know, He'll speak to you through Scripture. Praying. Spending time with others. You know, getting a Bible study. I mean, what better way to learn, you know? And I'll tell you, you know, with Jim, you know, going Scripture by Scripture through the Bible, what better way to learn about the Bible and learn about God? You know, a couple other scriptures that I claim to during this one. This one was early on. Was from Romans 3:12. It was called. It said, "Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation, and be in constant prayer." And I did all three of them. And you know, you can do that too. So rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation, and be in constant. And then James 1, 2 through 4. "Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, I'll say, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." You know, God uses these things to help train us and develop us and to get us ready, to help sanctify us. You know, so when you're going through this trial, it's not just all bad. There's a lot of good in it, and a lot of good that comes out of it. You may not see it at the time, but it's true. And then I come across this one thing. He says, "Realize as believers that we only suffer for a short while, while unbelievers will suffer forever." I mean, just think about it. As believers, you know, your lifetime is only, what, 80, 90 years possibly or something? In the whole scheme of things, in the scheme of eternity, it's just a very minute time. Where, as an unbeliever, they may have the world by the tail, as you think, here during this life. But in eternity, they're going to be suffering forever. So, why wouldn't you want to become a believer? I mean, I know, I hate pain, and I don't want to suffer forever. So, you know, keep that in mind. You know, we serve a big God, and He is in control of everything. And I may not understand it all, but that's okay. In fact, I don't want to understand it all. Because if I can understand it all, then I don't think I'm a very big God. But we do. We serve a big God, and He can do whatever He wants. Don't ever underestimate Him, and always trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5, 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." You know, so we may not know everything that's going on, but that's okay. It's okay. Some things we're not to know, but at other times God will show us and He will use you from the situation to be in to help each other, but He uses these situations to get us ready for heaven, to prepare us, to sanctify us. And then God disciplines those He loves. And those of us, you know, fathers who've had to discipline our kids, or we've been disciplined as kids. Now, that discipline is not fun on both sides. You know, you don't realize it until you're the parent. But Hebrews 12, 5, 6 says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, not be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." And he goes on further in 10 and 11. He says, "For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." You know, God did this with the Israelites time after time after time. You know, they would be fine. They'd have a believing leader for a while, and then they would turn their back on God, and God would have to discipline them again. And, you know, he does that with us. You know, so don't look at the discipline as bad, but look at it as good, as a learning experience, and try to, you know, my prayer was during this time was like, God, what are you trying to teach me? I don't want to go this way again. I only want to go this way one time. So show me what you want to show me. Show me. And then remember, God uses everything for his glory, the good and the bad. We may not see it at the time, but he does. And you'll see that as time goes on. You may not see it when you're in the valley, but afterwards, a lot of times you will. And you may not see it until you get into eternity. You know, going back to that one thing, we only suffer for a short time. We may suffer during this whole lifetime that we're here, because God's not ready to give you, you know, solve your problem yet. And so we can't get discouraged. We just have to be loving the Lord and follow and be faithful to him, that he will take care of us. Because he will. He's already given his life for us. You know? So this circles me right back to where we start with John 16:33. "I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus has. He came. He tried to show us how we should live. He died for us, even though we are unworthy of it. But he did. And our hope should be in Christ, not in this world. And my plea to you is, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you would commit and give yourself to the Lord this day. Don't wait. Because you can walk out this door today and get hit by a car or something worse. Those of you that love the Lord and already accept him as your Lord and Savior, you know what I'm talking about. Just thank the Lord. Take time to thank the Lord this day. You know, if any of you would like to talk to about this, I'd be glad to share with you. And I know Randy would, or any of the other elders would be glad to share with you if you'd like to come to the Lord this day. And I just put that invitation out to you. And I just thank you for all that you do. I thank you, as my church family, for supporting me during this time of trouble that I went through. Many of you didn't know it, but some of you did, and I thank you. And I also thank the Lord for his grace, his mercy. For that, thank you.